Everybody, and welcome back to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mason Shreen, and once again, I am joined by, this is breaking news, after making the finals for three straight years, it has been confirmed that he's just requested a trade. It's Max Wiener! Max, what's good, buddy?
Not much. One man can take only so much Cleveland.
That's, oh, wow. Yeah, no, that is so true, though, my friend. That is so true. So, Max, how have you been, bud? What's good this week?
I am doing great. I just got back from Dunkirk. I'm still shaking from that movie. It was something. I'm really excited to talk to you about it because that's going to be a really fun pod.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Christopher Nolan is my ride or die. So, but first, we have more pressing issues. Pressing issues, pressing coverage. So the big story of the week is earlier this week, it was reported that Kyrie Irving has asked the Cleveland front office for a trade. Now, Max, what was your initial thought when you heard this story come out?
At first, I was pretty surprised because it's such a good situation right now. They've won one NBA championship in the past 3 years with LeBron. I know he did have a pretty rocky start because he was pretty much drafted as LeBron's replacement, and I think the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that for Kyrie's long-term success as an individual player and as his own personal future in terms of what his legacy is in the NBA, I can understand why he would want to have a new scenery, a change of scenery.
So when I first heard this, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for a little bit. So when I first heard this, I was like, Kyrie, what are you doing? I mean, you know, it was like LeBron's like one of the best, if not the best teammates in the league. I mean, times are good. You get to play with LeBron means an automatic trip to the finals and you're automatically contender in the East every single year. You get a ton of games on ESPN. Everyone loves watching your team because LeBron's on it. So I was like, Kyrie, what are you doing? I was on Team LeBron at first, for sure. And then I listened to what Richard Jefferson had to say, and he said a lot of good things that I really agree with. And then I watched The Jump on ESPN, and Ramona had some very, very interesting things to say about that whole Kyrie situation. And so, you know, what I just realized is that there is no player in the NBA whose fate has been more dictated by someone else than Kyrie Irving. So LeBron left Cleveland, and then Kyrie was drafted the year after with the number one overall pick to be his replacement in Cleveland. And, you know, then he had to live up to all those comparisons of LeBron, of being LeBron, which no one can be or is. And then he's doing that for 3 years on bad teams with horrible coaches and very, very inconsistent situation, which can't be healthy. And so he has to just hear all this stuff about LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And then it's announced that, oh, LeBron is coming home. There's this big fanfare. And now Kyrie's not really the guy anymore. It's LeBron. You know, LeBron is the face of the franchise now, kind of taking that away from Kyrie. And so, you know, now it's LeBron's team, you know, everything is on LeBron, no one's really focusing on Kyrie, which can be good and bad. But no one ever really, I won't say no one, but nobody really mentions or gives credit to Kyrie during the playoff runs and the race to the finals and even the championship in last two seasons ago. Because here's the thing, say what you want about Kyrie's defense, which he's not a good defensive player, I'll be the first to say that. He gets better in the playoffs. And he's a great playoff player, and he's one of the best finishers at the rim of all time. And, you know, I think that, you know, and my opinion even changed before we recorded this podcast. I was thinking, like, you know, I don't think Kyrie can really be the guy just because, you know, we've seen those very bad years in Cleveland before LeBron came back. But then again, Dan Gilbert's not a great owner. The situation there was extremely inconsistent. He was a baby, essentially, and he's about to enter what should be the best years of his career. So while I'm still not sold on him being able to be the guy on a different team. I think he still deserves that chance to be. Like, this is the ripple effect of what LeBron did, right? Don't you agree? When he left in 2010 to go to Miami to have some player independence, you know? And then KD did that, and he joined a good team. Say what you will about KD, but, you know, he made the choice to join the 73-win Warriors. I'm not trying to be negative to KD right now. But, you know, it's what we want players to have more autonomy like this. So, I mean, you know, if it goes in reverse, then fine. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, that's what we want. So, I don't know. Like, again, this was a deep dive, but I mean, which are you on team? Are you team LeBron still, or are you team Kyrie at all now after this spiel?
So, it's tough because in the modern NBA, there's very much a movement to with KD's move to the Warriors, more of a Gestaltian idea that the whole is greater than the parts, that being part of a championship team is what the pinnacle of being an NBA player is, while what Kyrie has done is more of an individualistic move, in that he's saying, hey, I want to be my own man. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to be under LeBron's shadow. I don't want to be play second fiddle. I deserve the respect that I need as a player of his caliber. And it'll be interesting to see what the reaction of the rest of the league and different players are with Kyrie's move, because I feel like this could potentially influence other players to say, hey, what's holding me back from going and taking a chance in a different franchise and maybe becoming that guy for them?
Yeah, and, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to picture, like, all the different places where he could go, where he could be the guy. And, yeah, it's... Yeah, okay, again, here's the thing. I think I'm Team Kyrie right now. Because, Max, let me ask you this. If he just comes out, like, next season on his new team and says, honestly, I didn't like LeBron. I'd never liked playing with that guy. And, you know, I just didn't like how everything had to be about him and about his legacy, and I couldn't really be my own guy. Max, would you hold that against Kyrie?
I don't think that'd be a good move to come out and do that.
No, I know, man. I'm just saying, like, you don't want to cause a public feud, but, like, if he does say that, what would you understand? Would you sympathize with the guy?
That's just tough, because then it turns into a he said sort of thing, because has any time in the past, has there been complaints about LeBron being a bad teammate?
No, and, like, that's the thing that I'm shocked about, is that he is, but, okay, I'm more trying to use it as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I was just saying, like, I don't know how. Like, is that just Kyrie trying to say, like, trying to get people over to his side, or how much truth is within that statement?
Well, that's actually, it's so funny you mentioned that, because, so, apparently, I love this theory. Okay, so, Kyrie's, his party, all of his homies, whoever met with the front office of, met with the front office of Cleveland, they agreed to not share the story with the public until it happened. Now, that really only leaves the Cleveland front office and LeBron James's party. And people are thinking that LeBron might have been the one that leaked the story. LeBron's party, not LeBron himself, but LeBron's media publicist or whatever have you, was the one that leaked the, you know, that Kyrie wanted to trade, so that it could paint LeBron in a better light. Because, as we all know, LeBron is obsessed with his image. Like, say what you will about 100%. Him, he is obsessed with his image and how the way people perceive him. And so this way it would make him seem like the good guy. I love that theory. I'm not saying I buy into it, but I think it's just like a great, great, like, conspiracy theory that I'd love for the internet to come together and find any truth in. But, like, you saw yesterday, like, LeBron was just going off on Twitter just saying, boo, fake news, you know, get a new source or whatever. And I thought that was, like, hilarious because, like, you know, LeBron rarely ever gets his hands dirty and stuff like that. But and Stephen A. had a hilarious response. But
I don't know. It's just – it just seems very un-LeBron to me for him to – release that kind of story. Like, yeah, I'm sure he was hurt by this. This was probably his last chance in his home city to bring them another title with Kyrie at the number two position next to him as his sidekick, which is probably part of the reason why Kyrie left. But I don't know. You have to kind of, like, it's going to be a tough team to watch because LeBron is so great this year, or he's so great, but how much can you do by himself? Yeah, they did get another former MVP, but how much is that going to do versus the Golden State Warriors?
No, well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, is that they can still trade for Melo, maybe, but I highly doubt Melo would want to go there because he's got 2 years left on his deal, and I don't think he wants to stay there that 1 year if LeBron leaves for, like, L.A. Like, Melo's not going to want to be alone in Cleveland for a year. Sorry, not sorry, Cleveland. So that's one factor. I still think that they could – if they trade Kyrie for the right pieces, you know, I think that they have the potential to be a – like, if they get Eric Bledsoe, who can play good defense, I think they might be even more improved. If they get, like, a complimentary piece with that.
Drew Bledsoe plays basketball now?
Eric Bledsoe.
I know, I was joking.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But, like, yeah, there are still ways. Cleveland's, well, the summer seems like a nightmare for Cleveland right now. There's still a way to get assets. So I'm not, I wouldn't, like, light the boat on fire yet, Cleveland. But, speaking of the trades, Max, so Kyrie... We haven't talked about this yet. Kyrie gave four trade preferences. And I want to ask you something real quick. I want to ask you two questions about this.
Okay.
So the four teams were Miami, New York, the Knicks, the Timberwolves, and then the San Antonio Spurs. And it's interesting that he did those two, or two of those teams, because, well, one, he wouldn't be the guy. He wouldn't be the alpha on the Timberwolves. He might be the number one scoring option, though. And same with San Antonio. It's they're Minnesota and San Antonio, small markets, and he would be next to Kawhi. The only thing I could see with the Spurs is that he would kind of be like the media guy because, you know, Kawhi is very, very introverted and very soft-spoken. So that could be the possibility, the allure there. And then I know the Knicks is just a real estate option because that's where he's from. His dad is from the projects. So, one, which team do you think of these four is he most likely to go to? And two, does Kyrie really have any, you know, voice in the matter of where he gets traded to? What do you think?
That's tough because he requests the trade. You would think that to maintain some sort of relationship between the front office and him as like a clean breakup would be somewhat – to at least listen to him when he goes and they try to trade him somewhere just to maintain an image going forward to other potential players. So I think that would be the nice thing to do, but I can also see on the other hand, they could be very, the word coming to mind is butthurt and
yes.
just say, hey, what's the best pieces we can get no matter what team it is. Does Kyrie have the option to block trades? Does he have that in his contract?
No, I don't think so because I think he's still I think he got an extension, but I don't think he's on his like first huge contract.
Okay. So yeah,
I might be wrong on that. So he might be not yet on his second, which is typically where you get that no trade clause.
Okay. But I think that these teams are very good options for both sides. In terms of pieces to be able to get him, I think that since you already mentioned it, I think the Knicks would be the one with one of the best opportunities for Melo, as well as the T-Wolves with all their young depth that they have right now. I think they would also have the assets to be able to trade for him. But I would love to see him on the Spurs. With Pop at the helm, he would be able to get the best out of Kyrie. You never know, even maybe we beef up his defense a little bit, but that'd be so fun to watch him and Kawhi together. I think that'd be a really awesome duo to have in San Antonio.
I do want to – okay, let me ask you, just going to run three nicknames by you. Okay, we got – in New York, we got Kristaps and Kyrie, or Kyrie and Kristaps. I think Kristaps and Kyrie sounds better. In New York, In Minnesota, you got Carl Towns and Kyrie, or just Carl and Kyrie. And then in San Antonio, you got Kawhi and Kyrie, or the Claw and Kyrie. Which one do you think sounds the best?
Power rankings, number three, Towns and Kyrie. That just has no roll off the tongue. Number two,
Carl and Kyrie? Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, no, just no PR perspective. No, doesn't work. Number two, gonna go with Kristaps and Kyrie.
Okay.
It works a little bit, just a tad. And then finally, Kawhi and Kyrie. That's my number one vote.
We have the same power rankings, but Max, if he gets traded to the Milwaukee Bucks and he doesn't go by Uncle Brew, I will be so disappointed.
That'd be amazing.
Yes, I want it to happen. So for me, the team that I want him to go to, not I don't want him to, because if he goes to Minnesota, I'll get a tattoo of Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, NBA Finals Champions 2023. The team I really want him to go to is I want him to go to the Suns. I want it to be Kyrie at point, Devin Booker, you know, Dragon Bender's very young, which is still the best name in the NBA. I'm like, Dragon Bender. He would be great. He's going to be a good power forward one day, I think. And, you know, Josh Jackson, if he can just develop that damn jumper. That's such a fun young core. And that'd be like auto league pass for me. Because, you know, Kyrie could.
Mason,
like,
we legitimately... all know you're going to buy a league pass with how much you talk about it already.
All right, you know what?
I'll split it with you.
Dude, I'm so down. But the thing is, Kyrie could go and get buckets. Like, he'll get, in the word, like, okay, to quote Bill Russell, basketball has always been and will always be a game of buckets. And he gets buckets. Kyrie could easily average 45 points a night on the Suns. Him and Devin Booker just raining threes would be amazing. But Kyrie would have to be okay with losing for probably 2 years. Because I think they're still, like, one good piece away, and they need some age experience. So, there's that.
We'll see. I think for this to be a productive split for Cleveland, they have to get some young talent moving forward. Because there's that high likelihood they're losing Bron next year. But we'll see. Time will tell. It'll be definitely something interesting to watch going forward.
Yeah, and to kind of go back, I do agree with you. I think that it is the organization's absolutely, like, it's their obligation to get the best return that they possibly can on their one of their star players.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would love for Kyrie to go to some, like, three of those four teams, but honestly, I don't think he has much of a say in it if he wants to get out of Cleveland. So, speaking of Cleveland, Max, what are your thoughts on what does this mean for Cleveland and kind of the future of that organization, like the immediate future?
So next year, they, with LeBron at the helm, they at least have the talent to make a deep run at the playoffs. But with the rumors swirling around that LeBron wants to head west, wants to head somewhere else after his contract expires, I think it's just back to the dark ages for Cleveland. They had their nice run. They got their title that they've been wanting and for so long, but I just don't see them being able to compete at least for another 3 to 4 years after another post-LeBron era. Hopefully they get enough young pieces from this trade that will help them build for the future, or draft picks so they can get good guys next year, but I just don't see them being any sort of good team once LeBron leaves, which is almost, I think, a foregone conclusion with the Kyrie leaving.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, them trading Kyrie is got to be pretty. You know, they have to nail this one because they need to get stock for the future, because they can get a lot of variety of good players for Kyrie Irving if they do it right, and. Mm. It could help brace for a future without LeBron. Because here's the thing. They could trade Kyrie, and they could also trade Kevin Love for more assets. So it's not like that they're going to be bare of talent without LeBron, but they need to definitely prepare for the potential reality of life without LeBron. So, it'll be – the offseason's not over yet. It's still going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Max, just – And if you want to talk about the darkest timeline, Max, how would you feel if LeBron James joined the Golden State Warriors?
I think that would be the almost the end of the NBA in terms of in terms of it being a legitimate league. Because at that point, it's just a parody. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters versus whoever the crappy teams that they play. It's just stupid.
I am just making. What would your what would you do?
I'm not the biggest fan of the NBA, and this would make me lose most, if not all, of my respect for the NBA.
But I mean, you 5 second answer. Like, what's the most ridiculous thing you would do? Like, if you see the notification on your phone, what do you do? What's the next thing you do? What's the first thing you say?
I would text you and say, "Suck it."
You would tell me to suck it.
Yeah, because I know you would be heartbroken that the NBA turned to the shit, and I'd be like, "I told you. I knew this was going to happen. This is the darkest timeline."
Except that will never happen. So. I'm glad that you would choose your first words as suck it, Mason. So, yeah, that's fair.
It's just my natural reaction to things.
I would send you the cucumber emoji.
I'll send you flame ammo in response.
That's fair. Okay, so now, and for the Cavs, just real quick, I think this is kind of scary. For the fans, for sure. I mean, because the thing about the East is, if LeBron James is on your team, you're making the Eastern Conference Finals. Sorry. Sorry, Boston. Unless you guys can reform the Big Three, the Boston Three Party, but better, then maybe you will beat LeBron. But even then, I don't know.
Mason, can we hold a quick moment of silence for the 2018 through the fall of the NBA? So 2020 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay. Wow, what a very solemn moment that was.
It was.
But then again, Cleveland already got their championship, and they beat the 73-win Warriors. And so, honestly, in one of the best 7-game series I've ever seen, LeBron, they can, whatever. It's whatever. They can enjoy that and pout if they want to, but they still had one of the greatest championships ever. So, good for you, Cleveland. Believeland, I should say now. The land, as they say. Even though, as my
where heroes go to die.
Where one of my favorite all-time YouTube videos, the hastily made Cleveland tourism video.
Great video.
Their number one export is poverty. So, shout out to you, Cleveland. Anyways, now do a little sidestep to the sport of baseball. A player near and dear to Max and I's hearts, Yu Darvish. It was reported that the Rangers are ready to deal Darvish for the quote-unquote right deal. Now, this could mean a lot of things. This doesn't necessarily mean that they are for sure going to deal him, and they're not just looking to deal him right away. But, I mean, hey, if someone makes a very tempting offer, then they are willing to pull the trigger. So that's how I interpreted it, Max. How did you interpret it any differently?
So, I don't know. John Daniels is always very, very, very active during the trade line, no matter the state of our team. When we were at one of our lowest points, was when we pulled the trigger for Cole Hamels. So I love that no matter what state we're in, John Daniels is always looking towards the future to try to make the Rangers of today to be able to be the team that competes consistently. But I think if you get an offer that is so tempting that you cannot refuse, you have to pull the trigger. You and I, we both love Yu Darvish. He was instrumental in this franchise. Honestly, since I've been a Rangers fan, he has been one of my favorite pitchers to watch. There's a stretch where every time he took the mound, there was the possibility he was going to throw a perfect game, no-hitter. I still wish he was able to complete that perfect game. I remember...
Don't talk about it.
I remember I was... It was
there's three times too, Max. Oh, I'm so pissed.
It
now.
Was the first one where freaking Marwin Gonzalez choked up and just hit one right at the middle. I remember just sitting in my room and just screaming because I was just so mad that it happened. But it's tough. We are still in a competition for a wild card spot. I think we're 3 games back as of right now. But I think that Yu Darvish is off contract at the end of this year. There is a very high likelihood that a team either in LA or New York is going to go all in for you And there is no way we can outbid those franchises. So if they can see that there is a deal, there's only like one or two deals in my mind and my knowledge of prospects that I would take for you. But if there's a way you can get value from you with, if we don't make the playoffs this year as a scenario, then that's nothing. But if the same scenario happens and we do trade you, we don't make the playoffs, which is, as of right now, I think we, based on the like FanGraphs statistics, we have like a 20% chance.
Never tell me the odds, Max.
I know, because there's always a chance. But if you can get value from Yu Darvish, a la what the Yankees did with the Cuban Missile, I think that you have to get the value when you can, because they got arguably the best infield prospect in baseball right now, Gleyber Torres, who unfortunately is injured right now for him, and he's going to be a stud as soon as next year. So I think that if you can get a player who could be a franchise piece for the next 5 to 10 years, you have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I mean, it's so tough when players you love are involved. Speaking of that, like, I do want to quickly shout out to the Rangers. So we're recording this on Tuesday night, as the Rangers have dropped 10 runs now on the Miami Marlins. And Ellington, the Marlins pitcher right now, just gave up another hit and just dropped one of the best caught on camera curse words I've ever seen. He just like screamed the F word, and I swear to God, like the vein in his neck was about to burst, but that was fantastic. Anyways, but yeah, the problem is that assuming the Rangers win this game, they will be 2.5 games out of the wild card. And it's just the way that the baseball goes, and Rangers have shown in the past that they can really turn it on or really turn it off in the second half. But when the last time that they had a bad first half, they became the hottest team in the MLB and had one of the best second halves ever. So I wonder what's going through John Daniels' head. Like, it is his job to, it is any GM's job to listen to offers. You have to listen to offers. Like, that's good business. You need to be in the know what the market value for a certain player is, and if you know if you're getting undersold, you know you're getting a steal. So I'm still not entirely sure that Darvish will get traded, just because I know John Daniels, while he is active, if he sees that there is like any some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, then he is willing to, you know, carry on forward. But the thing that's going through his head is, okay, if we make the playoffs, yes, it is MLB, yes, anything can happen, but if we make the playoffs, do we have a fighter's chance even? And that's the thing, because this is really the first time that the offense has all been healthy, but they don't appear to be very consistent yet. And so, I mean, if he's looking at his deck of cards, and he gets offered some of the top prospects from, you know, my guess is I think he's going to get the biggest offer is going to be from the Dodgers. Then I think he's going to take the deal to really stack his deck more for the future. But man, it's tough to really, because how would that really affect the success of the team? You know, because starting pitching has really been hit or miss. Well, okay, sorry, pun intended, not intended, for this club the past 2-3 seasons, and losing the guy that, you know, is pretty much worshipped here, who everyone loves him here, everyone loves watching him pitch. He's the guy here. You know, whether or not he's the best pitcher, everyone sees him as the guy. And he's one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest faces in DFW sports right now. And so, yeah, it would suck to see him go, but, you know, that's what being a GM is. You can't think like the fans, or else you'll be sitting with the fans. So, yeah, if, gun to my head, I think he's going to get traded to the Dodgers, especially now that Kershaw's out for 6 weeks. Do I want him to go to the Dodgers? Of course not, but if we can get some very promising prospects from the Dodgers, then, you know, I will only shed a lot of tears, but you know, at least the sun will rise the next day.
So the difficult thing about this is, for a trade, Yu Darvish is a rental because his contract does expire at the end of the season. Yes, a team could go and extend him wherever he goes, but still, it is very likelihood that the team he could be on will not be the team he is on next year. If we do trade him, my perfect scenario would be when the Oakland A's acquired Jeff Samardzija for Addison Russell. Addison Russell has been the shortstop for the Cubs, for the World Series winning team. So if we can acquire a player who becomes someone who is in our lineup quickly and is that level of a talent, there's only three players that come to mind from the Dodgers system who would have to be the centerpiece. Yadier Alvarez, he has a 60 future value from Fangraph. He is a right-handed starting pitcher. We have Alex Verdugo, who is a center fielder. He's supposed to be up next year. And then finally, Walker Buehler, who is also a right-handed pitcher and is supposed to be also up next year. So these are two of those three players are guys who will contribute potentially next year for the club, either being in a rotation or being a position of need for the Rangers. And that's not even counting any of the side pieces we may receive, because the Dodgers' 10th player in their system is better than some of the top players in some of the worst systems in the league. So they are stacked in terms of prospects. And the Dodgers are one of the best organizations in developing talent, a la Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, just to name a few. But Mason, let me ask you this question. When is the last time the Rangers have developed a ace starting pitcher from their farm system?
An ace. Well, I don't know about an ace, but
at least a starting pitcher who, if you had to throw them out there in a World Series game, you would trust them 100%.
Well, Colby Lewis kind of was back and forth between the Rangers and Japan, but I guess the name that comes to mind is, C.J. Wilson, who was the first pitcher. He was game one guy.
So, one pitcher in, when did C.J. come up? The,
20? Well, and so, yeah, like, I would not say he's an ace by any means, but, you know, he was serviceable. I think he's on a very good team. He's probably the two or three guy, probably the three guy. But the name that really comes to mind was Matt Harrison, and he had that one really good season, and then he had to have back surgery, which kind of derailed his career. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
This is the organization that was able to draft and develop Clayton Kershaw, so they know how to develop pitching, and they also have Julio Urias, who is supposed to be fantastic. Unfortunately, he's injured right now, but he does look absolutely amazing. So they have so many starting pitching prospects within this organization, which could be a help for the Rangers, because our starting pitching depth is not what it used to be. That has always been a weak point for the Rangers, at least as long as I've been watching, in terms of depth top to bottom. I think we can get a franchise-changing starter from the Dodgers to move forward as an organization.
Well, but here's the thing. We'd be giving up a franchise-changing starter as well,
who is going to be on the wrong side of 30. We're going to have to give him probably a close-to-record-breaking contract.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to take a – Mason, if we get in a bidding war with the Yankees, the Dodgers, and us, there's no way we are going to win that fight.
I wouldn't say there's no way.
Or if we win it, it's going to put us in a position where we're going to have depleted talent at other positions, yeah, which is not worth the price, because our farm system right now is not built to be able to produce guys who can fill those holes at a cheap price, making us able to spend money elsewhere.
My only disagreement was when you said record-breaking. I don't think we would give him a record-breaking deal. I mean,
he's a foreign-born player, potentially.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I thought you meant for like the pitching market, because I was gonna say, let's look at David Price's contract. I think
Yeah,
that's
no, for
still.
like a
I don't think he was getting that
foreign-born
money.
pitcher who came over on international signing, at least until Ohtani comes over.
Yeah. Well, knock on wood. Yeah. I mean, he's gonna make money. And who pays him that money? I'm still not sure yet. I mean, it's just when I look at it, it's gonna be. Unless like he loves it here, which I think he do. I think he does. He's already, he's lived here for a while now. He's kind of settled. He loves the locker room. Everyone in the locker room loves him. All the fans love him. I've already literally just mentioned this. But the thing is, if you were so okay, Max, say you work a certain job here, whatever, it's fine. You enjoy it. You have good years. You have less than good years. Whatever. You get offered more money to go do this job that you love in California, in a bigger market and for a bigger company that is consistently better than the company you work for right now. Do you say no?
Mason, there's a lot more factors than
No,
that.
I know, but I'm trying to simplify it. Like what would, I mean, that's kind of the situation where between him and where I'm thinking about the Dodgers right now is that they can offer you more. You're going to be on a better team. And the only thing I think that's really keeping him here, that would keep him here, is that how much he's loved. And he would be the day one guy versus the day two or three guy.
The only thing about that, though, is that LA does have a very strong East Asian heritage, and they have a large East Asian population. They also have had success in the past with foreign-born pitchers. They also, I would think, right now are one of the front runners for Ohtani when he comes over. So I think that those factors also have to be
That's
put in
ridiculous.
play for.
If
And also, it's very weird to think of that, but he's that much closer if everyone wants to go home. I know it's kind of trivial, but that is a 3 hour distance in a or 5 hour difference in what is always already a very long journey home.
so
So
you you never
just random factors that I just things that pop in my head. Do they affect it? But there's just things that you have to consider
Yeah.
when thinking of this issue.
Yeah. Well, what you never answered my question. What would your answer be?
I think you go to LA. It,
Yeah.
for your
In the.
legacy, you go to LA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not even the legacy, but I mean, like, you just okay. It's not Arlington. Okay. I will always show love to Agtown, Swagtown, Arlington, but I mean, you get to go play for Los Angeles. Gosh, now I'm talking myself into being okay with him going, and that's not what I want
Just
to do, but.
acceptance is the first step.
Yeah, well, we'll see, Max. Whenever, all I'm gonna say is, if he stays, I'm gonna get a number 11 tattoo on my back, just like where his jersey numbers would be.
That'd be a
But
sight to
it'll be on
see.
my back. But yeah. I mean, I guess we kind of are able to answer this question. Do we think the number one team that's going after him is the Dodgers?
I think they're honestly the only team that has enough prospects to be able to convince John Daniels to be able to make this deal, because the Cubs have pretty much deleted their system to be able to get Quintana. There honestly is nobody looking in their system right now who I would be willing to trade you for. And then the Yankees, there is Gleyber Torres, but we are good on the left side of the infield, and Gleyber is hurt. So they've traded or have called up four of their five top five prospects. So I don't think it's worth it for them. So honestly, I really think that the only organization that has the ability and the prospects to be able to get you is the Dodgers. Yeah, that's all I can think of who would be able to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. Last question about you, real quick. Give me a percentage. What's the percent chance that if he does get traded, he comes back next year?
To the Rangers?
Yes.
40%.
Wow, really? Okay.
Do you think that's high? Do you think that's low?
I think that's high, but I mean, shit, I'll take it.
That's yeah, I agree it's a little high, but I still think majority chances he goes somewhere else, minority chance he comes back.
Okay, that's fair. So I guess the last thing we really want to talk about is, speaking of just exchanges across sports slash the world. So my boy, Casey Hudson, former project lead at BioWare. This is, we're going to go into some video game talk. If you're not interested, then feel free to dump out now, because this is going to be what we're going to talk about for the rest of the pod. But real quick, so Casey Hudson, who has been with game developer BioWare since Knights of the Old Republic came out, so way back in the original Xbox era, he has been there. He was the lead for all three Mass Effect games, and he started working on the skeleton of Anthem before he left to go work for Microsoft and work on HoloLens, which I can only imagine is only oh so fun. And so late last week, it was announced that he was coming home to BioWare. He was now going to step up as the general manager, and the former general manager stepped down after 17 years. So, Max, I have to ask you, do you think this is, how significant is this for BioWare?
I think it's organization altering. I know you're not going to like what I say this. I think that BioWare has not made as high quality games as they were a few years ago. Dragon Age Inquisition was pretty disappointing.
Andromeda, really?
Yeah. I think Andromeda did not live up to the hype that people were waiting for as a next installment in the Mass Effect franchise. So I think he had had so much success with BioWare. As you said, KOTOR, the three Mass Effect games, some of the best games of our generation. I think that their quality dropped some since his departure, and I think that him returning is a very good sign for BioWare moving forward.
Yeah. I think, if anything, this is an amazing PR move because, Casey Hudson is the name that is very trusted. And like anyone that really is very familiar with the Mass Effect games and KOTOR even knows who Casey Hudson is. I disagree. I mean, this is just now just debating, but really, I think Dragon Age Inquisition was really good. I think that game got some Game of the Year nods, but that Casey wasn't involved with. I don't think he was involved with any of the Dragon Age games. And as for Mass Effect, I think the gameplay itself is amazing. I think it's some of the best in the franchise. I think the combat is the best in the franchise. The story was kind of eh. And yes, the facial animation was a huge problem. I will say that. But I wasn't ready to crucify the development team for that. But I understand that with the title of Mass Effect comes a very, very high bar, and you have to meet that bar. In fact, actually, you don't have to just meet it. You have to go above it. So I get that. I don't know how much of that actually had to play with this, but if I had to bet, I would think that EA made some calls to Casey and like, hey, Prodigal Son, please come back. And so, but I think this is great. I think this is really good. I'm excited to see what happens next. I think this puts the quote unquote delay on the next Mass Effect game. It kind of speeds it up, because now that Casey's back, he's gonna probably want to jump in and not save the franchise, because I don't think it needs to be saved, but really help return the reputation of a franchise that he is very much like the not the creator of, but he's kind of like the parent of it. So I think this is nothing but good for BioWare, and I'm really excited to see what happens next. I don't think he's going to really have an effect on Anthem, but I do think he's going to affect everything after that. So I'm excited. Max, are you excited for that?
I am conservatively optimistic. I don't know enough about the game. We saw very brief information about it at E3. I want more before I make the final decision. I guess usually these games that are announced so very, very early, you never know what you're really going to get with the final product. So,
yes.
I don't know. I wasn't the biggest Destiny fan. I know it's changed a lot since it first came out, but it really fell flat for me after a couple weeks. Too grindy for my personal tastes, so I don't know if Anthem is really going to be up my alley. But again, we'll see. If with him back, as you said, we aren't sure if he's going to have that many effects on the outcome of this game, but I'm sure just with his influence, I'm sure it'll change the atmosphere of their studios and help them to make the best work going forward.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, with Anthem, well, here, actually, no, with Destiny, Day 1 Destiny, I think, was about, like, a 7 out of 10 game. But then, like, Destiny now, I would say is about a 9.5. They fixed a lot of things, and I think I may actually give in and try Destiny 2, because here's the thing, it's Bungie developing it, and Bungie's one of the best developers out there. They gave us Halo 1, 2, 3, ODST, and Reach, so, you know, I trust them, I do, and I think they do deserve a second shot, even if I am a little bit skeptical. But this, I mean, this Max, would you be down to play what seems to be a online game where you play in an Iron Man-like suit with guns and with a Knights of the Old Republic level story? Would that interest you?
Yes, but
that's all I need. That's what
you're trying to say Anthem is, but again, that's what they say it is now. Is that what it's going to be when you pick up your copy on launch day?
Yeah. I mean, it's still a year away. So I'm just curious if you are interested in that thing.
If they deliver on that, then yes. But I'm very skeptical that they will 100% deliver on what they told us at E3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's BioWare. They've been pretty reliable in the past. And it is the BioWare, I think it is the BioWare Munch Toronto team that is working on it, the team that delivered the Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect trilogy. All right, well, that's really all I got for you, Max. You got anything else for me?
Nope, that's it. But thank you guys for listening in to Pressing Coverage this week. We really do appreciate it. Please feel free to follow us at Pressing Cover on both Twitter and Instagram. Also follow us on Facebook. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and share to our podcast. And also go check out the main website, pressingcoverage.com, for more content. We'll see you guys next time.
And stay tuned later this week for when Max and I break down the emotional experience that was Dunkirk. See you guys.